Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we have a really interesting show today as we're going to look at some financial trends and we're going to hover around the market, but I know that we'll venture into the geopolitical too with our guest, Robert Kudla of Trade Genius. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I don't think we've ever seen so many simultaneous economic events, geopolitical events going on simultaneously. So it's going to be interesting to see how our guest kind of weaves his way through all these events. But listen, this is an important show because forearmed is, what is it, forewarned is forearmed. And so here we are, folks. Bob, welcome to the show. As we close in on the end of the year, I think the lame duck session when the Democrats are trying to get everything through they can is influencing a little bit of what's happening. But even without that, this is it's just crazy out there right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's funny. I just added two more arms to my shoulder so I can move even faster. So, but look, you know, everywhere you look, there's action now. So if I could just indulge me for a quick around the world in 180 days here is that right now for a mild winter, they're actually going into a deep freeze. Okay. It's affecting the price of natural gas and coal. So we're trading those on the long side as often as we can. And then if you slip over to Russia, Russia now is going to end to a defense pact with Iran, you know, mutual defense pact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So now you have Russia, Turkey, Syria, and Iran forming very resilient and. And that has geopolitical risks, and you know, some may say, maybe one of them, risks, because it kind of sets up Ezekiel 38. And then China, I think, had a little bit of a near-death experience. Their citizens with the COVID lockdowns, and I think they've come to realize that they've probably taken it as hard and as far as they can. And they're going to reopen, which means that inflation is going to re-engage and the cost of energy and counting on going down because of China being locked down. Energy costs are going to rise in general. But it's also they're going to start exporting inflation now out to the West. And then we spin over to the United States. You know, we have an incredible turn of events with Twitter, with Elon Musk. He's gotten some sort of religion, and that he is going hard after the woke. And I think, you know, one of those things is that, you know, when the people go after the king, you better not miss. And I think they went after Musk and they missed. And he's right now, he's trying to dismantle this genie that was Twitter, and I think we haven't even gone to the scratch the surface to the level of government interference in a private company to affect policy. Is that a good way of putting it?
No, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Go ahead.
Republicans taking over Congress on the House side, and with Kristen Sinema going independent, complicates the life of Democrats, but also there's some people with some big targets on their back. So all that stuff is spinning. And then, you know, Jerome Powell raising interest rates, and by him raising the interest rates, you know, people say, oh, he's going to pause. Well, pauses aren't necessarily good, and pivots are absolutely bad because it tells people, why are we pivoting? But really, the most important thing is that companies are getting priced out of the credit markets. People are already priced out of the credit markets. Now companies are getting priced out of the credit markets where it just simply makes no sense to make certain investments, but also not making any you're going to have to dilute shares. So I think all this stuff is coming into a what I would call a perfect storm for a pretty volatile to weak first and second quarter of 2023.
Interesting. Well, how I'm just wondering, I know you guys are really successful at Trade Genius in volatile times. And so I'm wondering, is that trend holding true for you guys now? Or are you kind of suffering with everybody else? What's your status right now?
We're doing fantastic. Volatility is our friend, and so, the more the markets move, intraday, intramonth, interweek, the more money we make because it's easy for our algorithm to see the reversals. So, we're still we've now pushed win rate over the last 60 days, and our profit factor is still over 100%. On the trades,
Wow.
and on an annual basis, and so we're still feeling pretty comfortable. And then we released a really cool new toy, and it's really we call it our bot, and it's basically a filter. And what it does, it looks for trades that I used to have to just kind of hunt and peck. So my bot does all the filtering for me in TradingView, and then we build a up trades, and it doesn't trade for you, but it dishes the trades up for people, and then we wrote a basically tutorial how to trade those, and those have been just knocking out of the park. So we're just constantly improving the systems here, creating these sentinels to find trades, and especially when this market starts to move fast. You get trades every day, even though like the market is kind of wonky right now. There's been some awesome trades we've been able to take advantage of just because of the reversals that are happening in the market back and forth. And
How
if you
is it that you stay ahead of the trend and take advantage of this volatility? I don't want you to give out a trade secret, but I mean, generally, what do you do that makes it work so well?
change our algorithm. So, we operate on, and what we've done for people listening, we've created a couple pretty effective algorithms to trade the market. So we look at, first of all, we look at seasonalities of the market. So what market should we even be in at certain times of the year? When we get down below that, we have an algorithm that looks at levels, and we have an algorithm that looks at momentum. And as those line up, they give us trades, and we take those trade signals. So we're still operating under the fear and greed model, and then we have it bracketed by our algorithm. When you look at the market, it trades like a sine wave, like a radio wave. And so we have high degree of confidence depending on how level macro algorithm works, whether or not we should take the momentum trade. And that's how we just stay ahead of it. The reason why we're doing better is that the things that we think are going to go higher, we're in that sweet spot right now where everybody else is chasing old stuff. Our algorithm has us into the new sectors. And so we just stay where the money is going, and that's how we make money. So, and then it's just disciplined approach. And then you just can't help but make money over time. And do a quick plug for Christmas. Guys, you can trade with us. Just go to tradelikeagenius.com. We have we converted Fridays. We did a couple now for Christmas. So just go out there. I think use promo code HOLIDAY off non-bundle. Bundle items are already pre-discounted, so take advantage of them. The prices are awesome. You had some new people join last month, Dave. Apparently they're happy. So I think, if anybody wants to join us, we'll teach you how to trade. We have chat rooms you can communicate with us. We'll give you the trade signals so you can learn, but we give you access through our basic and advanced indicator packages that you can actually create your own watch list and create your own trades and create your own alerts.
You
So
know,
we give you a complete package.
what's going to happen here, Bob, because you've been defying the trends here for quite some time with this negative economy we're in. And I think what's going to happen is all of a sudden CNN and all these other big media, they're going to show up and try to get your secret. Now, I'm assuming that your algorithms are proprietary, right? You've developed that and it's not for public disclosure, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So there you go,
Yep.
CNN. If you want to
Yeah.
know, you got to join. And,
Yeah. So it's I mean, this is many years in the making, and like the bot we just did is brand new. So, and we've been testing that for months.
I wanted to ask you too about a general trend because you guys are kicking butt here. I'm going to pull up your sheet here because I think the I'm going to give out the right information on the coupon code here. If it's before the 17th of December, oh, here it is right here. The coupon code is Cyber and it's 60% off the non-bundled items. So that's a good deal. That's a really good deal. It's one of your better deals you've ever had. So that's really cool. Okay, so Cyber.
No, we. Yep. Sorry.
60% off. So, okay. So, anyway, with regard to the trends, I mean, you guys kind of run upstream against the trend. You're like the salmon that swims upstream to spawn, and you define the trend here. But the trend for a lot of people is not good. Is there still a hangover effect from FTX? And if so, how do you see that impacting people?
Oh, it's getting worse. Now, if he created a, it created a panic of crypto markets. So, it basically is exposing everyone's a lack of reserves, in these exchanges, and everybody was kind of daisy chaining off each other here. And so, now Binance is failing their audits, and if Binance goes, basically the whole cookie crumbles. Now, I want to bifurcate. The crypto market. So a lot of these altcoins, especially if you have to exchange it, they're probably going to be worth nothing at the end of the day, okay?
Okay.
That have use cases like Ethereum, and Bitcoin, they're going to be fine. But we have to kind of wait till it dawns on anybody else out there. And in the United States, regulatory environment and also big money now is starting to get very interested in Bitcoin. And so I think what we're seeing here is they're blowing up all these foreign exchanges that have no regulations, that are opaque, probably big money laundering operations. And now you have a situation where the United States, look, with Fidelity getting in there, Schwab getting into the game, BlackRock getting into the game, Goldman getting in the game, Chase getting into the game. That's where they're going to be the center of gravity for crypto trading, at least as it relates to Bitcoin and Ethereum.
I've had people tell me that crypto's in the toilet because of reputation due to FTX and people are leery about taking a chance. But you're kind of describing a trend that runs opposite that. So how would you answer those people who make that claim that crypto's in big trouble right now?
Well, I mean, crypto itself, it's a broad term. I would say the alternative coins, they have to prove themselves. And I think a Bitcoin proven
Yeah.
model, Ethereum's a proven model. I think Litecoin some rocket moves during this time. This is everything that this is a great way somebody framed it. I can't claim it for myself. This is a massive money laundering operation
Yes.
that uses crypto. That's all it is. It's not a
Okay.
crypto problem. It's a money laundering fraud problem.
Okay. So I hear what you're saying. But I'll tell you, it is having kind of a debilitating effect because I had someone write to me and say, oh, see, you're not representing crypto. And I just said, well, that's the way our advertising is going right now. But do you think crypto is going to fully bounce back and regain the public trust?
No, I think this is a sea change. I think Bitcoin, I keep wanting to make the difference because when you use the word crypto, it could be any piece of garbage, right?
Okay, yep.
So Bitcoin as a proven model, it's non-inflationary. It has no reserves to be stolen, okay? It doesn't, there's nobody in there running Bitcoin. It's basically, it's kind of it's leaderless, right? So there's no direction for it. And so Bitcoin's fine. Even Ethereum people can argue that it, okay, well, more centralized it should be, but Bitcoin's fine and it's non-bank. So I would tell people, and that's why Bitcoin gone down when some of this other stuff's getting blown up. So I'm just being very clear with people that, if you're going to invest in crypto, just invest in Bitcoin. It's the gorilla. Okay, I know people get stars in their eyes because they see people making 10,000% on these altcoins, but I think that's over. I think, the tulip mania of all these all gone. People just created these coins out of thin air and then tried to get them so that they can cash out and then they blow up.
They
So
have a
that's
good
my
role
opinion.
model in the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
And I'm not just being facetious here, Bob. I'm being serious. That's very much a Federal Reserve model here. You know what I found really disturbing is kind of an aside. Maxine Waters and others that were asked, "Are you going to give it back?" I mean, this FTX thing defrauded millions of people, and yet our politicians don't think they should pay the money back. It's amazing.
Well, I think what's going to happen is that's why he's so desperate to not being accused of fraud. That's why he had this good world tour that the Democrats have been putting him on every media outlet, because if it determines that he had a fraudulent operation, okay, then the Madoff rule comes into place, and anybody that received this guy subject. And you're talking 40, 50, some people say over $100 million that were given to the Democratic Party over this period of time. It'll all get clawed back over the next couple of years. So desperate. That's taking this guy out to be some sort of Humpty Dumpty dupe,
Yeah, no, but he's guilty of sin. He is Bernie
Or he's
Madoff in
guilty
my
of sin.
book.
Yeah, and then, yeah,
Yeah.
you don't get, if I can interrupt you don't get a pass for being, clueless, okay?
Exactly.
You ran the company, and with that comes certain responsibilities. Jack may find that out with Twitter too. So it's problematic for him, and especially if they could flip one of these younglings on him, and testify him, it's all over. I said I'd be surprised if this guy if
Yeah, we're having a little breakup in your signal. I'll monitor here for a minute here. I mean, most of it's coming through, but occasionally we get kind of a stumble, and I know it's not you, but it is coming on your end. So let's kind of monitor that, and if we have to, we can reestablish. But yeah, I wanted to say this about FTX. I've just had people in the rank and file, regular people, just say, "Oh man, I just don't trust the process now." But you just mentioned a whole bunch of banks that are jumping into this. So, what do they know that the average person is afraid of?
Well, I mean, look, in 1996, the NSA published a white paper on what Bitcoin eventually became. So, and who Satoshi is, and nobody sold any, Satoshi never sold any of the tokens that he created, right? And so my view has always been it's a construct of the United States government, in one way, shape, or form. And I think it's our bailout in case the dollar has reserve currency issue
Yeah,
that we have
exactly.
a backup. We have a backup currency in place that's non-inflationary. So that's my view. I can't prove it. I can only surmise, but it makes perfect sense to me that Bitcoin's never really been heavily regulated, and yet every other entity that's been coming in contact with it has been getting blown up, and now they're blowing it all up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sam Friedman was the useful idiot this time.
Well, some people tell me, I've even heard this from bankers, that crypto was blown up with FTX for a couple of reasons, but one of the reasons was to do away with the competition for the Fed coin that's coming, with Executive Order 14067, and the Biden administration doesn't want any competition, so they were all too happy to have FTX happen. How would you respond to that?
I mean, I just think it was a war between Binance and FTX because I think Binance is backed by the Chinese government.
It is, yep.
And I think FTX tried to take Binance out and Binance took FTX out. And I don't think they wanted this thing to blow up because look, the Democrats are exposed now on this.
Yeah, but you know who
So.
else is exposed, Bob? And it's made me make a dramatic move. Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, Rona McDaniel, the head of the RNC, and even down to my local government in Maricopa County in Arizona, which they're corrupt as heck, and we know that. They, how do I say this? They took FTX money, and so it looks like the Republican leadership has been bought off by Democratic finance interests. And that's making me say, hey, I'm not giving money to the Republican Party until these leaders are gone, and I'll support Republican candidates on an individual basis. Are you getting this from other people? Because I'm concerned that the Republican leadership has been compromised.
Well, I mean, to answer your first question, that's all the reason why this thing shouldn't have been blown up. So the Chinese blew it up, okay? And exposed the American government. Well, Democrats are more exposed than Republicans. Look, I think everybody already knows McConnell and McCarthy are compromised. You know, you could see it. You know, they don't have any rank and file support among the voters. And so they're, you know, they're playing everything right down the middle. So I can't use the word corrupt. That's a pejorative that I don't want to get sued over. So I don't know if they're corrupt or not. I just know that they tend to favor where they get their money.
Yeah, I'll say this. This is just Dave Hodges speaking, and not Bob Kudla. I speak for myself. When you took FTX money that ripped people off, and you're not willing to pay it back, to me that's corruption, and that to me is what's driving me away from these leaders. And listen, I think there's some really good Republican candidates out there, but and there's a whole different thing we could go down here too. But just quickly, there are super PACs that I've discovered. That at the local level in Arizona, also McCarthy, also McConnell, that they have entered into agreements with these super PACs to rid government of MAGA Republicans. Then this is 100% verifiable. I've seen the data, I've seen the literature. So there's a real, let's put it this way. The state of Arizona's Republican Party and the state of Texas Republican Party gave Rona McDaniel and the RNC a vote of no confidence, and this is why. So
Yeah, I
it's a
mean,
big deal.
look, yeah, I just think what's going to happen here. Look, I think economics and geopolitics are gonna change the way it's done here in the next couple of years because, I think everything. Look, BlackRock got an ESG because it's failing miserably.
There you go.
Okay,
Yep.
and so you're gonna basically reality is starting to set in here. All. The easy train these guys had of just taking money from everybody and just trying to run status quo is over. So decisions are going to have to be made. So people are going to have to be on one side of the fence or the other. And people like McConnell and McCarthy that try to thread it are not going to be lauded as crooks. They're going to be derision over their lack of huevos, okay? And so, that's my view of it, and I think that's what's going to happen. But it's the events to make these things happen. So, and time people are, I think people are tired of being tired. So you're going to see candidates come out, like DeSantis, who's going to have broad appeal because he's pragmatic. Okay,
Yes.
and I think people are tired of. Just like with what Elon Musk is doing with Twitter, people are tired of far left and far right advocacy, just tearing the country apart. And whether it's good or bad, it's irrelevant. Whether or not the ideas are good or bad are irrelevant. People are just tired.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
And so I don't, it doesn't matter, people can agree or disagree with me, I'm just telling you the facts of life.
Yeah.
Is that people are tired. If somebody is pragmatic and has solutions, be very appealing. And especially if you have to be moral. So, just because you're a pragmatic Democrat may not fly because they're not moral people.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of upheaval going on. I mean, I think people are making too much of Kyrsten Sinema leaving the Democratic Party because Kamala Harris still holds the tie-breaking vote in the Senate. Now, if Herschel Walker had won in Georgia, that'd be a horse of a different color. But then you got to factor in the Rhino factor. And I just, like I said, this is why I like your approach. Your approach is based on non-emotional algorithms. No greed, no fear. It's just totally logical. And this is why I think you're doing well, because right now it's easy to get lost in all this mess that's going on.
Yeah, I always tell people I care, but I don't care, right? I mean, I'm not going to compromise who I am as a person, but if I want to short a stock and it's going up and my algorithm says to buy it, well, I'm going to buy it, And so sometimes what you want and what the market or life gives you are two different things. If you recognize the difference, and you'll be much happier and much successful if you do. Not everything's a straight line in life too. And if you're hardcore on anything other than what I would call core moral principles, you just get run over. Sometimes you have to get run over because you're not going to compromise who you are. But I'd rather be light on my feet on things that don't matter. I'll give you an example. So I'm a conservative Christian and I lean towards prophecy, but I attend a church that's Reformed Calvinist. And my pastor always says, well, the important thing is Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, right? All else can be argued. And that's how my things are. Your core principles, you don't compromise, all else can be argued. And that's how I view, and that's how I apply and treat the same way. Do I want certain things to happen? Absolutely. If they don't happen, I stay long. I should be selling. No, I sell. And that's how you should trade your life.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, and your principles, adhering to the protocols of your algorithms. This is why I think you're successful, and a lot of people ride this emotional roller coaster that I'm seeing. But it's difficult to really kind of get a handle on some of these trends. I wanted to ask you about gold. It looks like gold has really taken off, and there doesn't seem to be any near end in sight. What do you think about gold?
Yeah, I mean they're anticipating that Powell can't raise rates faster than the growth in the money supply inflation over time. So gold's finally starting to get a bid here. And while we're talking, I'm going to look for the gold chart here if I can look at it with you. But yeah, so it's still gonna, as long as the dollar stays strong, it's gonna cause gold some sort of grief, okay? And like they're pushing it down here ahead of Powell raising interest rates again. But at some point, he can't keep raising interest rates and the dollar can't keep going higher, or it causes severe dislocations and they're gonna have to relent, okay? But right now, gold has pushed up to its what they call a 2.3 linear regression line, which means that from a center line of it is of its activity. So it's had a really nice move over almost $200 move in the last 3 to 4 weeks, which is a nice move. So it may consolidate here, but it's also creating a basing pattern, Dave, that,
What does that mean? Can I ask you what a basing pattern means?
meaning that the sellers are pretty much exhausted. And so now it's basically buyers and profit takers market again. So, I see gold here in the near term back closer to $2,100, back to where it was in the beginning of 2022, in the near term in 2023. So, it's breaking out. The next resistance area is like 1890. My buy and sell algorithm has it on a it flipped on the 11th of November. It's been in an uptrend ever since. So now it's hitting some resistance area. It might consolidate here. This is a don't market hold. You take profit and then you look to buy back in. And that's how we're looking at things. I'm trading on the side. So heck, silver, wheat and precious metal, Barrick gold are my trade choice.
Right. Is
I have
silver
like yesterday.
is silver still doing well because it's the mineral of choice for the new Green Deal, like solar panels and so forth, and silver is underproduced and underpriced. Is that still the way it is, or have things changed?
Yeah, just Green New Deal. It's also the healthcare industry because it's an antimicrobial. It's used in the electronics industry. It's a very valuable metal for an industry. So they definitely. And I don't know why they screw around it so much. I think because they're fearful of anything to keep with power. So, but at some point, it's going to explode higher. And I prefer silver over gold. I prefer the silver miners. But a lot of times when you pull out gold, you pull out silver too. And a lot of times you pull out copper, you pull out silver. So so I see SLV. I'm looking at SLV right here. $24 is probably the next target for silver. The chart looks better than gold. Okay, it's already based. You look at this thing, it's called a rounded bottom, Dave. It's already based.
Okay.
So now you're looking at next resistance area, $24.86. And so you just look to buy the dips on this thing on lower time frames. I'm looking at daily charts here, folks who are listening. And when China opens up again, copper is going to go. So I'm in and out of Freeport-McMoRan all the time. And steel stocks have been holding up as well. We've traded those of late, and they for some reason they're ignoring recession talk at the moment. So I'm trying to figure out what they know that I don't know. But steel stocks have been holding up as well.
That's interesting. What about the energy it takes to produce these? Doesn't that kind of go against Biden's climate change policies?
Of course, these guys, it's their cake and eat it too. They want all the pollution and everything done overseas, and then for us to take advantage of it. But those days are over now. So we're gonna have to produce more here to be able to have a surviving economy. Yeah, and look, people thinking oil and not look at natural gas. We're talking today on a Monday. We've been short. I mean, long natural gas. We've been short the ultra against it, and that gas flew up 10% today. The whole world is a freeze in the northern hemisphere, and there's not enough nat gas. Nat gas is critical for fertilizer. It's critical for, glass. It's critical for a lot of industrial applications, and basically deindustrialize Europe. So, but it's also going to cause massive inflation if they don't get more production of natural gas out into the marketplace. But Europe's look is going to be one big Disneyland. That's it. People are going to go there on vacation, all right? But they're not going to produce anything else at this rate unless they get their arms around getting cheap energy again.
Yeah, I saw where Sweden joined Germany and they're telling their citizens to voluntarily cut back on their energy use and dramatically so. And so it still looks like the EU is stubbornly holding to their no energy production in their countries,
Yeah, they're.
at least most of the EU. I think Italy's kind of gone against the trend, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, because they have a new prime minister in
Yeah.
there, and but what you have going on now that they're hoping they can rope and dope this thing, but I don't. I think they mistimed this thing. So, they're going for the interception and they jump too early. So I think they're going to find themselves in a hurt locker, and but look, true believers don't give up dreams very easily. They have to be forced out of power. And I think it's going to take time. Sweden has a lot of hydro, so Sweden's going to make it more. Germany will.
Yeah, Germany's in big trouble. I have relatives in Germany, and they're in big, big trouble. And no one in Germany, this is what I'm told, no one who has to work, no one who has to pay bills supports this German government, and they've become totally autocratic.
Yeah, look at, I think the pain point get high enough. Look, it got high enough for Italy, right? Hungary, what in Sweden? Sweden went center right, okay. Finland, amidst that, without the United States, there would be no Finland. So you're starting to see a change happening. But these people that have power don't give up power easily, and they have to be forced out. So
Yeah, I
it's a
think you're right.
process. Same here in the US. We got to force people out. And, once people realize that they're just not in giving you your best interest, you got to get enough of the people who are even keel, they have to come on the side of happy and change.
Do you think, I know what I think on this, but do you think Biden is going to be able to pull off his executive order 14067 and have his version of digital currency replace the dollar?
Absolutely not.
I don't think so either. Yeah, it's a concern I have because they're so radical. The
Yeah.
consequences be damned, but I just don't see business accepting it.
Yeah, look, I think everything's timing, right? So I think they missed this cycle, okay? And now I think they're gonna have to pull their horns in until they gain power again. A little bit more control over the power right now. So I don't think the digital currency is coming on this go around. And I just think, you're having private bankers determining what we can buy or sell. I don't think it's going to fly. There's too many people in Congress that are going to be too uncomfortable with that. And there's no way in hell the Republican House can have control
Can you
over
say that
what
again,
people
Bob?
buy and sell.
Can you say that again about the Republican House of Representatives? Because you broke up a little bit.
I said the Republican House, knowing hell they're going to get Biden a carte blanche over how people buy and sell things using
Okay.
some sort of digital currency. There's
Yeah.
probably enough Democrats that are fearful of their next election too. I know Democrats love this thing what China does, where you can determine what people can or can't buy, and if they can or can't buy. But I just think, to get here, probably, but it's not coming anytime soon.
So, how do you see the war in Ukraine unfolding? Because at some point, economics has to enter in.
Ukraine's destroyed. So, Zelensky, let's give him a hand clap. He destroyed his country, and Russia is unscathed. And so you have a situation now where, we could kill a bunch of Russians, right? They could kill more Ukrainians, but strategically, Russia got the land that they wanted. They still control commodity absolutely needs. And he succeeded in destroying Ukraine and crippling Europe. So I don't, as far as Putin's concerned, is that he likes where he is. So
There's
there we have it.
one danger point I see for Russia potentially, though. I know they've signed on with Iran to get SS-20s that they're really short on. So if this war were to expand or to go on any length of time, Russia might have difficulty repelling NATO forces. But I don't see NATO being willing to push the envelope, do you?
No, and I don't think the American people have any appetite of getting over there at all.
Well, the war has fallen into disfavor according to the polls.
Yeah.
We
No,
could.
look, it's, yeah. And you don't even hear about it anymore. I don't even see it on social media at all. It's, no propaganda. I'm hearing 1,000 Ukrainians a day are dying in the war. So, 1,000 a day. I don't know how many Russians are dying, but there's 1,000 a day. Ukraine is now getting more desperate. They're actually firing into Russia now, okay? And look, they're desperate to provoke a bigger Russian response because they want to get the United States into this war. But Putin doesn't have to be provoked. He got what he wanted. So he can just sit his troops right along the border And you can just keep lobbing cruise missiles into Ukrainian infrastructure until they bomb them into the Stone Age, and then create a refugee crisis that everybody's going to pour into Europe.
That's what I've heard too, is the strategy now by Putin is designed to flood Europe with Ukrainian refugees.
And look, they want to do this since 2014. Actually, we're ill for whatever the strategy is, right?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. If for some reason we're still getting occasional cutouts on your end, it's just, and this isn't live, so I know they're not tampering with us. But anyway, we'll press forward. But I do agree with you. What other issues are on the horizon that, or are with us now besides FTX, the Ukraine war, and so forth? What else do people need to pay attention to that could impact the economy?
Well, I think the speed in which the real estate markets are collapsing may take people's breath away. So right now, if you don't have a house, it really doesn't affect you. But at some point, as people start to have to move into home care or whatever or pass on, you're going to get a lot of properties that are coming on the market that are inherited, and that these people are just going to, they're going to dump it at best price. They can't afford to live in it, the kids. And I think it's going to be one of those long rolling snowballs that are just going to cause increasing pain. And you have to understand, look at what happened in California. They went from a $90 billion surplus to a $25 billion deficit because bump run on real estate and capital gains, and they're both gone. Okay, because it's such a top-heavy tax structure here. Only the rich pay taxes, and when the rich aren't generating new riches, there's no tax revenue. And so I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see on a county level, auto manufacturers are getting rid of their dealer business too, so it's going to affect county taxes. So there's a lot of things coming that are under the surface that are going to explode higher, and when those things explode, it's going to cause more economic pain.
Well, there is some economic pain already that's showing up. I read recently that 9 million Generation Z have returned home to their parents.
Yeah, and I think they're just, I think the data is just catching up with reality here.
How does
The
this
world.
shake out with the housing crisis? Is it going to be worse than 2009?
Eventually, sure. I mean, we're 40% of our value hasn't fallen yet. Look, there's and if you have a stock like Airbnb, short rental market are going to get destroyed. Okay, so and all those guys, they daisy chained, mortgages to buy all these properties, right? You got these Airbnb millionaires that have 20 properties. Now they can't rent any of them. They're all going to go default. So you're just going to get a lot of property and supply on this market here, and it's not going to sell, and prices are going to fall. And once the collateral falls, that's when banks get in trouble.
Oh
Oh,
boy.
yeah. So I think it's a 2024 problem, and but 2023 is when we're going to recognize it.
I hope it doesn't come to this, but I do know that in 2010, legislation was passed that basically told the banks, you own someone's money when they put it into your bank, and the people who put the money in the bank are unsecured creditors. And a court ruling upheld that in 2012. Do you think this could force the banks in 2024 to basically hold on to whatever assets they can to heck with the public? Or do you think there'll be a bailout? How do you see this going?
Well, they've already done it. The banks are actually more well positioned this time around than not because of they lending and the lending that they're doing, they're flipping it right out into the securitization markets, and they've been giving all their deposit money to the Fed, and the Fed's paying them a fat interest rate. Okay? So the spreads the banks have, they're making a fortune on deposits right now, and so you know. It's going to take a lot more to hurt the banks this time, but everybody else is going to be hurting for certain.
Boy.
Yeah, they shifted all the risk to the government this time.
So, but the FDIC really can't cover this. I mean, is it
Well,
true?
no,
Go ahead.
FDIC is different than FDIC only matters if they can't if the banks can't manage bank withdrawals. Okay. Aren't lending, so their money's sitting overnight at the Fed.
Okay.
So FDIC is not an issue this time. It's really like mortgage-backed security issues.
How's this going to affect the average person? They're going to see a plunge in their real estate values. I know on Zillow, I just look at my home, for example, the value has plummeted. And
Yeah, I think it
it's.
depends when you bought your house. Oh. You know, I bought my house 15 years ago, so it doesn't really matter to me too much. I'll have equity, but it matters to people who bought in the last 5 years. If you
That's
bought
true, yeah.
after 2010, you're probably going to go into the water again.
Okay,
Okay.
yeah. We built our home in 2003. We're 20 years in. So,
Yeah.
but we're paid off. So we did the 15-year mortgage. So I think we're in pretty good shape. But man, these people who just bought,
Yeah.
I just do you think that? Well, okay. Here's a question I get a lot: will the county property tax bases match the depreciated value in a realistic manner?
They'll have to because people have the ability to redress at the county assessor level, and if they hold firm, the class action lawsuits to force those values down. So,
Okay. Well,
yeah.
what else is on your radar that affects what you do at Trade Genius? What are the
Nothing.
opportunities?
Isn't
Let's
that enough?
be positive now. Well, yeah, listen, the depreciated housing market's going to hurt a lot of people.
Yeah. Look, here's is that there's not enough workers that are skilled. So if you have skills, you're likely okay. If you're just a white collar managerial office worker, if you work for a big company, you're screwed. But if you work for a middle or small company, you're okay. If you have any skills in any trades, you're fine. Okay. But if you're a generalist, I call it the Modelo, the Modelo economy is over where you have all these 20 somethings, working at a bar, restaurant, and Starbucks and living some sort of good life in the city. That life is over. Okay. So if you're one of those and you're listening, you better start thinking about going to flyover country and extraction.
Yeah, can you say that again? You broke up. Fly over country and do what?
Yeah, you want to move there and work in the ag, mining, extraction, or energy space to earn a living because that's where the money's going to be. We're going to basically get down to the basics and all these service level jobs are not going to pay. And if you're a mid-level manager for a big corporation, they're going to ship it off to India or the Philippines or to Mexico.
Okay. Well, there's a question someone sent me after we talked a month ago, and so I've saved this for the opportune time. Said, ask Bob Kudla what kind of people typically come into Trade Genius from the public. So how would you answer that?
Yeah, well, I'll give you the demographics. I would say 50% of our customers are over 45. It's mixed between men and women. Their political bent is probably right of center. Their rationale for doing this is protection, understanding and also looking to create their income stream over time, and that patriot, nothing but good for the country. And that's the trade union's customer.
Do they turn this into first or second income opportunities? How do they apply what they do at Trade Genius?
Yeah, I would say 80% of the people view this as making better decisions in their retirement accounts
Okay.
and secondary source of income. And I would say 20% try to make a go at this first income or supplement retirement.
And here's another follow-up on this too. How long does it take? So, and I think this is too general a question, but this is what they asked. How long does it take when you join Trade Genius to start making money?
Well, I mean that is it's a hard question to answer because
Exactly, yeah.
if you join day one, a great trade and you make money, you made money day one. But what I would say is that you kind of drink from a fire hose for 4 to 6 weeks, kind of getting used to the way when you do things, although you can manage the trades right away. So I would say after 6 weeks, you should be with our normalized results. And if you want to do this for a living, I'd say it could take you up to build enough capital and enough trading success to be able to do this on your own.
So you
If
mean
anybody tells you, if anybody tells you different to you, so I've been doing
okay.
this enough to know it takes a long time to build up enough capital. And just remember, I can give you the best trade signals in the world, but you be your own worst enemy. So you have to develop discipline habits. Terms of stops and your risk, tolerances. I give out stops and targets, but they're just to prove the model, right? You're ultimately responsible for your trades, so you have to determine, what you make on a trade is good enough, and what's most important to you, losing out or losing, and so those things all are personal. But yeah, I'd say 4 to 6 weeks. I've sent you attaboys. I have a ton more if you want them. Where I help people make, some people say it's the best money they've ever made, and that I get them on the right side of trades and they didn't really realize certain sectors are doing so well and stuff like that. And me personally, our personal long-term accounts are near their high watermark because we stayed with the sectors that worked,
Yeah.
primarily in energy. And so we definitely get you on the right side,
Well, here's what
so.
one guy said. I mean, I've got some of those attaboys here. Great week, made an average of $630 profit each of all 5 days this week. Love the Trade Genius indicators.
Yeah, look, if you make $100 a day and making $20,000 a year, that is definitely $100 a day, you're making $120,000 a year. You're making twice the median average of the United States worker. Okay, so you can work your way up. When people that I have seen people in our rooms that are brand new, and I said, look, start learning how to make $50 a day. If you make $50 a day, then make your goal $100 a day, so on and so forth. And over time, you're gonna put yourself in a position where you can make, $100,000 a year, but it's going to take you time. You have to build your capital up, and you have to develop good habits. And our
And what do you
signals
mean
are
by good
generally
habits,
about.
Bob? When you say good habits, what does that
Oh,
include?
people like FOMO. People don't like to take stops when they should. People will oversize a trade because they get greedy. Sometimes when you're on a roll, you time you overtrade. So those are the kind of things be careful about. A lot of people chase earnings reports. They're deadly. A lot of people try to trade in news. That's deadly. So, there's just things you shouldn't do, and avoid those. You're gonna do fine.
See, this is
Trade
such
that.
good advice, though. I mean, just follow the plan, work the plan, don't get greedy.
Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
I totally agree. Okay, okay, because I know if I don't cover this, people are gonna write to me. Okay, and hopefully, listen to me, folks. Take notes, get your pencil ready. Okay, you can get involved in Trade Genius. Go to Trade Genius Academy, and they have a special until this coming Saturday, which is the 17th, and your coupon code here is cyber, and you're going to get 60% off the non-bundled items. And just real quickly here, when we say non-bundled items, can you give me a 20-second answer on that?
You want to buy the indicators, you may want to buy training, you may just want to buy a single entry, you may only want to go monthly, you know, stuff like that. Those are all non-bundles.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Well, there you have it. You've got the expert, folks. We've kind of gone A to Z on the economy today, and there's great opportunities for you at Trade Genius. And I tell you, people from my audience swear by this who are involved. Again, cyber is the coupon code, 60% off, good until the 17th of this month. Bob, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate the update.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.